Morning. Hello. How are you? Are you well? If you have a look at Ephesians chapter 6, we'll start with that. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your goodness. Bless your word to us this morning, we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone say,
Amen.
Amen. I'm reading from verse 10. Just adding to what we've shared last week regarding submission, the shield of faith, the girdle of truth, the helmet of salvation, protecting your mind from the onslaught of the devil, renewing your mind. Hallelujah. When you were born, you became a living soul. And all your life, your mind has been in control. When you're born again, your spirit comes alive, and your spirit wants to take over your life. The battle is between your spirit and your soul, because your soul has always been alive and in control. One of the things that you need to do when you're fighting this fight of faith, now you remember that the fight is not a bad fight. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life with whereto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The Bible says the fight is a good fight. And many times when we are fighting, a lot of times we leave the enemy alone. We fight among ourselves. And then we have an internal conflict where your spirit wants to take over and your mind does not want your spirit to take over. Now, if you engage the devil in your mind, the devil will always win. If you engage the devil in your spirit, the devil will always lose. And what the devil does is deceive us in the way that we think, so that in the end, we are self-defeated. Like we shared, it's not the devil primarily that is our main difficulty. Our main difficulty that destroys us is lack of knowledge. And when we don't know what belongs to us, we don't know the authority that we have, the enemy will deceive us into causing us to be defeated. Now, how many times have you told somebody to do something and they argue back? Why do they argue back? Because their soul says, but. Now, one of the things that you need to do when you're fighting this fight is tell your soul to shut up. Because as long as your soul speaks, he will tell you every negative thing and every experience that was bad, and your soul becomes then a thing that the enemy can tempt and deceive. And the soul will tell you the evidence of why you shouldn't. All right? Now, remember, Jacob mourned for 20 years because he believed a lie. Jacob was lied to by his sons. And for 20 years, that man lived in sorrow when actually, his son was still alive. The boy was still alive. He was doing well. Yes, he's been to the pit and to the prison, but now he's in the palace, and the old guy is still grieving because he believed a lie. And many Christians, if you're not careful, the lie that your soul will accuse you of will cause you to be bound. will cause you to be defeated. That's why the Bible says, when your mind is renewed, you're transformed. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you're going to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. But your mind has to be renewed, because your greatest enemy and where the enemy engages you is your mind. Now, one of the things the devil does is he produces evidence to tell you you're right. Oh, but everybody's doing that. I don't give a hoot if everybody's doing that. Even if everybody does that in the church. I shared something at a wedding a while ago. Well, a while ago to me is about 10 years ago, all right? And a teacher from St. George's was sitting in the audience. And she took what I said at the wedding and put it on the wall of her classroom for all her students to read. And I said this: the whole world may deny the truth. It doesn't make the truth invalid. And I said, the whole world may live together. No one may ever get married. It doesn't make marriage wrong and doesn't make living together right. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And many times our mind, because it's so educated, like Harold Hills called the mind the idiot box, the educated idiot box. I didn't say that. Harold Hill said that, all right? So when you're trying to argue from this book, according to the realm of the spirit and the supernatural, your mind will always say, but. That's why sometimes you have to tell your soul to shut up. That's why the wise man said, when your soul says things, he said, put your hand over your mouth. So what do? Be silent. Be still. And know that he is God. Next thing you do is talk to yourself. He said, you just told us to be silent. Let your spirit speak. Bless the Lord, O my soul, or I'll strangle you. Let your spirit speak. And let your spirit speak the word of God, not only to the circumstance, but let your spirit speak life into your soul and command your soul to be submissive to your spirit. Are you all right? I shared with you one time. This lady was just, it was just, every now and again she'll get into depression. And I said, go home and praise the Lord. Said, but I don't want to praise the Lord. I said, but that's the very answer to your problem. Tell your soul to, I don't want to praise the Lord. The Bible says God will give us the garments of praise for the spirit of heaven. There is a spiritual answer to the problem if you will direct yourself to do it. Hallelujah. In everything, give thanks. Now, it's not nice to give thanks when you're in the middle of trouble. But the Bible does not tell you to thank God for the trouble. The Bible tells you to thank God even in the midst of the trouble. So when they sang praises and give thanks to God in the midst of being in jail, God tapped his foot and wrecked the jail. Hallelujah. So there is a spiritual answer to solve the problem if you will learn to obey. Hallelujah. So we shared on the covering, the shield of faith. And if you have any sense, you'll come under covering. I mean, naturally, we have sense. If it rains, you come under covering. But spiritually, we are stupid. When it rains arrows from the devil, and you're just standing there thinking, I'm fine. Well, you'll be like a pincushion. And we talk about righteousness that covers your heart and practical righteousness. And sometimes we give in to righteousness because we find something good. You right, dear? She probably thought, I've never heard anybody so loud. Hallelujah. And sometimes what's good will rob you of your righteousness. And we ended last week by saying it was the goodness of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil that defeated Eve. She saw it was good, it was pleasant, and it was desirable, and she was doomed. And many times the thing that you see is good. Often it's a thing that will defeat you. I shared in the first service about a couple that we knew very close. And they invited a couple from the Jehovah's Witnesses to have dinner. And I said, oh, are you sure? He said, yeah, we want to witness to them. The dinner was good, but the evening was terrible. Why? Because what seems to be good often can rob us. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Amen. And one of the things the enemy does, well, he does it all the time, and we get sucked in all the time, is deception. And deception is when you think you're correct when you're not. So when the devil came into Eve, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The enemy defeated in two of those three things. The enemy was able to steal from Adam and Eve and was able to kill them. They died spiritually. So he was successful in two-thirds of his attack. They were not destroyed. They could have been destroyed. But they lost their authority to be the God of this world. The original God of this world was not the devil. The original God of this world was Adam. He had authority over everything. And then he gave that authority to the devil. The devil became the God of this world. And then he lost. He not only lost his authority, he lost his capacity to be connected to God, and he died spiritually. Are you all right? Hallelujah. Jesus came, Jesus died, rose again, redeemed us. So when you're born again, that which was dead is now come alive. Everyone that is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all the things have become new. And now you've got a new man inside. That is your spirit. And your spirit wants to take over your soul, as we said. But the conflict is in the soul. And like we said, the soul will accuse you. Jacob lived in sorrow for 20 years. The problem with that is there was evidence that the son died. And the devil will remind you about the evidence. Look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. And we keep on looking at the evidence. You need to tell your soul to be quiet. Are you all right? So have a look at Deuteronomy 11. Now, one of the things that many people don't know and don't do is that the most important person in your world outside of God is you. Now, many people say, we live for others. Yes, we do. That's a very pious idea, and we actually do live for others. But the most important person in your world is not the other person. The most important person in your world is you. If you can understand that, the most important person in Alan Hoskins' life is Rosalie Hoskin. Is that right? No, the most important person in Alan Hoskins' life is Alan. Because if he's all right, Rosalie will be all right, the children will be all right, the family will be all right. If he's not all right, then anything will not be all right. That's why you need to take heed to yourself first. I travel a lot. And when you get in the plane, the air hostess or the steward will say, ladies and gentlemen, this is flight NZ992 heading for Samoa. Before we, it'll give us the safety announcements and procedures. If anything happens, there'll be a mask that fall down from the top. The oxygen will flow even if the mask does not inflate. Put your mask on first. If you don't, you only have between 15 and 60 seconds of oxygen left in the cabin, and you have to put that on first. If you don't, you could die and your child could die. So before you help anybody, you have to help yourself first. That is one of the most wisest thing to do, but also one of the most biblical things you can do. Have you found Deuteronomy 11? Verse 16. Take heed to yourself. Hello? Take heed to the other passengers. No, take heed to yourself. Before anything else, you have to take heed to yourself. If you're going to win this fight, you have to know yourself and take heed of yourself. Take heed of yourself that your heart be not deceived. That's why you need to protect your heart. Because if you don't look after yourself, your heart will be exposed to deception. And as a man thinks in his heart, that's what he will be. And if your heart is deceived, you will be deceived. If your heart's unclean, then your heart is dirty. Create in me a clean heart. That means if there's a clean heart, there can be a dirty heart. Is your heart dirty or clean this morning? Blessed are the pure in hearts, they shall see God. So you have to take heed of yourself, because your heart could deceive you. But when your heart is right, you can see God. Life can flow from your heart. Are you all right? Are you all right? You're very quiet. Hallelujah. And then it says, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside. You turn aside. It doesn't, sometimes it's so subtle that you just turn aside. You turn aside and you begin to walk a path that is not righteous. When God, the Bible says, leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake and for your sake. But you begin to turn aside from the path that is correct, from the right path. And then it says, you'll turn yourself aside and you're going to serve something other than God. Hallelujah. You know, Paul warned the church. He said, you will listen to a false gospel and you will follow a false Christ. And then you will worship them. Now worship, you know, we could talk a lot about worship, but we don't deliberately go out and worship a tree. But there's a lot of things that will rob your heart so that your heart is directed the wrong way and leave the right path that God has planned for you. Hallelujah. The Bible says God weighs the heart, weighs our motivation, weighs our attitude. And sometimes you give your heart to somebody that will probably trample on your heart because you turn aside. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So if there is any message for you, look after yourself. The greatest thing a parent can do is look after themselves for the sake of their child. If you don't, your family will be parentless. Look after yourself. Have a look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, Paul is leaving the church in Ephesus and he's talking to the eldership of the church. And he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves before you take heed to the church. Before you take heed to the flock, which is the sheep, which is the congregation, you have to look after yourself. So before you take heed of your family or whatever your responsibility is, you have to look after yourself. Hallelujah. And then he says, because there will be wolves. Remember we said last week, the enemy comes in three ways: the lion, the lamb, and the light. There will be wolves coming, and the wolves will not spare the flock. That's why you need to look after yourself, because if you're injured, the flock will be demolished. And then he said this, and it lines up with what Moses said. He said, there will be men and women within yourselves, among your own congregation, that will rise up and will lead people aside to them instead of leading them to God. Hallelujah. Are you all right? So there will be wolves that will devour the flock. And there will be men that will deceive the flock. So what's the answer? He said, hallelujah. He said, feed the church. Feed the church. Feed the church. Jesus said to Peter, if you love me, feed. Second time, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Feed. Third time, do you love me? He said, I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. Feed. Feed. If you feed the flock, they will be strong. They will be discerning. They will know what it is to live upright. They will know practical righteousness. They will know what it is to submit. God has never made man to be ruled over by others. It always has to come by submission. God said, I'll give you authority, have dominion over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the trees in the field and the beasts in the field. But you're not to have authority over men. The authority that comes through men always has to be submitted to. And if you don't submit, you come under covering and you get shot by the devil. But the will of man is never to be overpowered by another man's will. It always has to come by submission. Hallelujah. And then Paul said to the church in Ephesus, he said, watch, remember, and warn. Watch, remember, warn. Many times we don't watch, other times we forget. Be not a forgetful hearer, but be a doer of the work. Be a doer of the word of God, not a hearer only, deceiving. You can actually deceive yourself by knowing the word and not practicing it. It's not your knowledge of the Bible that will do you good. It's the knowledge of the Bible that you live and practice. Hallelujah. And then Paul said, watch, remember, and warn. Hallelujah. He said, therefore, watch, remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And then he said, a commendation. He said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace that is able to build you up. The word is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Pastor Ben was sharing this morning in the first service, we've got a mountain of Bibles in the office. What are they doing there? What's your inheritance doing there? Now, if that was a mountain of cell phone, there will never be a mountain of cell phone, because if you get your cell phone here, you'll come back to get it. If you get your Bible, you leave it here. There is no inheritance in a cell phone, but there is an inheritance here. Hallelujah. I've got 4 minutes. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. And verse 16. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. So before you take heed to the flock or your family or whatever, look after yourself. And then he says, take heed to yourself, then to the doctrine. So he obviously talking to a minister, but he's also talking to us. Before the flock, yourself. Before anything else, yourself. Before your own doctrine, look after yourself. Because if you do, then the doctrine that you give will help you, and it will save you as well as those that hear you. But primarily, my point is very simple. If you're going to win this battle, and we are supposed to be overcomers, we're supposed to win this battle and win it well. Hallelujah. You have to take heed to yourself. Hallelujah. Are you okay? The Bible says to clothe yourself in the armor of God, the suit of clothes that God has provided for you, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, the girdle of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and praying. When you put on that suit, you can't be conquered. That suit protects you. That suit helps you to win the battle in war. Hallelujah. When Adam and Eve sinned, God provided for them a suit. It was the cover of the sacrifice. Let me give you some very popular examples that we finish. Bruce Wayne was just Bruce Wayne. But when he put on that Batman suit, he became supernatural. Clark Kent is just a reporter for the whatever Globe. But when he puts on the Superman suit, he became indestructible. Anthony Stark, when he puts on the Iron Man suit, when a normal housewife, everyday single parent, married, whatever, Christian, put on Christ, you will win the battle every single time. God bless you.